Okay, well, we're going to get started here. Happy Memorial Day weekend, by the way. Thank you. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to two places, Acts chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1. And I want us just to pray as you're turning there. We're just going to open with prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing. And Jesus, we yield to you. We yield to you today. Lord, speak to us. Thank you for your word, which you honor above your own name. I pray that you would speak to us today, that you would touch us however you want to do it. Have your way in us. We come as a hungry people today. And so teach us, heavenly teacher, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was, quick story before we get started here. Yesterday, I've been feeling pretty good the last couple of weeks, and I've been getting out, getting a little bit more active, and I was doing some lawn work yesterday, and I was like listening to an audiobook. Tozer, come on, somebody tell me the, what is it? Do you know? It's probably one of his most popular ones. The title's blanking on me. It's about. I was listening to Tozer. Because they have audiobooks on Spotify now. And I was listening to this book and I was like, oh my gosh, this is everything that the Lord's been working in me for the last year and a half, 2 years now. And I was getting really excited. And he was talking about the verse where Paul says that I might know him, that I might know Jesus, right? And him crucified and all these things. And I was like, yes, Lord, I want to know you, right? I was like into it. And I was like, this is so good. And so I was doing some stuff and I was prying something open with a screwdriver and I was trying to get the gutters unclogged and I was pushing and it went right through the gutter and into my hand. And so now my hand is swollen and fat. And so I couldn't play guitar today. But I was like, I come in and I'm like little kind of dramatic. I'm dramatic. And I was kind of screaming. I always say, like, if I'm sick or in pain, I'm the sickest and I need care, right? Like, I need attention. But I come in and Susie's like, what did you do? What did you do? And I was like, I crucified myself. Like, what? I was just talking that I might know him and him crucified. And I'm like, well, I didn't really mean quite like that. But yeah, we prayed over this morning during our prayer. And so we're all good. Happy Memorial Day weekend. You get some yard work done and you hurt yourself. It's all good. Okay. Acts chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1. We are going to continue to talk today about the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to spend a few weeks in this and talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about Pentecost. Last week was Pentecost Sunday. Now, the word Pentecost means 50, and it is 50 days after the Passover or after the resurrection of Jesus. And how many of you remember when Jesus rose from the dead on the third day? He was crucified on the cross. He rose from the grave on the third day. And then he walked with his disciples for how many days? 40 days, right? 40 days he walks with his disciples. He continues to teach them, to minister to them, to build them up, saying things like, I will be with you always, and I'm going to send my spirit to be upon you. And so he, after 40 days, he ascends into heaven in the flesh. As he ascended, they could see the holes in his hands and they could see the holes in his feet. How many of you know Jesus isn't just some spirit? He's alive in the flesh and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. He ascends into heaven on the 40th day. And then on the 50th day, the Holy Spirit comes. So I need a couple math wizards. How many days between his ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was there? We have one scholar. No, we got holding up the hands. How many days? How many days? Real quick. 10 days, right? 10 days. Okay, if you got it right, if your neighbor got it right, tap him on the shoulder to say, good job. Good job, you did it. So 10 days, the disciples were praying in the upper room in one accord, waiting for the promise that Jesus had given them, that I am going to send my spirit and he is going to come upon you. And when he does, you will receive power. So the disciples were in this room, this upper room in Jerusalem. They were hiding out a little bit. It was a tumultuous time. And they were praying for 10 days straight. That's 240 hours of uninterrupted prayer. How many of you have ever done that, right? And they were, it says, scripture says they were praying in one accord. Now, how do you pray in one accord? Really two things. Number one, you have to monitor your heart. How many of you know you can be praying the same thing, but if there is divisiveness in your heart, you are not in one accord with other people. So number one, you have to monitor your heart. But number two, you have to pray as the Lord leads. And as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, he said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. And so they were praying in one accord. And it says that the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost, which was last Sunday for us. But the Holy Spirit came upon them. They all received new tongues, new languages. They began to sing in or speak in their heavenly language. And people walking by that were spectators like, these guys are drunk. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, they're not drunk on wine. It's too early in the day for that. No, they are filled. This is what Jesus promised. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. And scripture says that day, 3,000 people were added to the church. Now, what did Jesus say the disciples would receive when the Holy Spirit was poured out? Power. Power for what? To be a witness. To be a witness. Everybody say a witness. Now I would say the Holy Spirit came not just to witness. Listen to Acts chapter 1:8. I had you turn there. This is Jesus speaking right before he's about to ascend into heaven. Jesus says, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. Power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Say upon you. And here, listen to this now. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit being poured out and coming upon you. And you shall be witnesses. Everybody say, be witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. How many of you know there is a big difference between witnessing, which means sharing your faith, and being a witness? They're really two different things. To witness, to share your faith, and here's the reality. We should be able to share our faith. But how many of you know you're not sharing your faith unless you're also preaching the gospel? Did you know that? You know, there's something that I've heard a lot of believers say is, I'm just going to be friends, I'm gonna make a lot of friends, and I'm going to try to influence them, and eventually they'll come to Jesus. But how many of you know, if the gospel is never included, that is not witnessing. In order to be an effective witness, we must be able to share our faith, which is, what did Jesus do for you? If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, how many of you know you're a believer because you heard the good news? You believed it in your heart, and then because you believed it, you confessed it with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and when you do that, scripture says you're saved, okay? And so we don't just become friends with the world to try to win them for Christ, okay? If we are, do we wanna be friends with people? Yes, but we must include the gospel. Somebody say amen. I've seen pastors of churches try to win over celebrities. And I'm talking big celebrities you know. And not one of them who tried to befriend them first and to be a part of their world, going to the clubs, doing the things that they're doing, right? Not one of them ended up not backsliding and turning away from the faith. Listen, we're not to become like the world. We're to love them, to be kind. But how many of you know there is power in the gospel and we must bring the gospel to the world, amen? Okay, we're moving on. So the Holy Spirit comes not just so that we can witness occasionally or share a story or knock that off our list. He comes to make us a witness. There's a difference. That means that everywhere that you go, people see the Lord on you. I had somebody come up a couple weeks ago. They go to a different church, but they come here occasionally when they can, and they came up and they were talking to me and they said, you know, every time I come here, I go to the evening service at my church and people literally say, I can see Jesus on you. There's something different that happens when we yield ourselves to the Spirit and really allow Him to fill us, where we don't hold things off, where we don't leave up the walls or the barriers, where we don't come with our own agendas and make it about ourselves, but when we fully yield and say, Jesus, whatever you want to do today, how many of you know He'll meet you where you're at? Amen? And so the Holy Spirit comes to make us a witness, and the word here is power. Jesus said, you will receive power. The word, the Greek word for it that he used was dunamis, which means dynamite, right? It is a dynamite power. It is an effective power. It is a power, ability, an energy. And the Holy Spirit comes to destroy the works of the devil with what? With power. Amen. Now, if you missed last week, you missed a good one. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee. Be like, what did we talk about last week? How many of you here were here last week? Raise your hand. Good, good. We talked last week about Pentecost, and we talked about how Pentecost, it's all about God doing the work. We contrasted what Pentecost versus Babel. Babel is the culture of Babylon, and Babylon is all about I will make for myself. I will make a name for myself. I will build something from the ground up to the heavens. But how many of you know when Pentecost came, it changed the game because it was the reverse direction. It was God saying, no, I'm going to do it and I will do it for you. I am going to come down and meet you. Amen. And so Pentecost, the culture of the kingdom, is all about God building it from heaven to earth. Babylon, the tower, was meant to ascend to the heavens by building up from the earth through human agreement, through human ability, through human team bonding, right? How many of you know when people are like-minded and come together in unity, there's some cool things that you can do. There's some big brands out there, isn't there? You go to some hotels or you go to some place and you're like, this is incredible. People can do a lot of good things, but in the end, it means nothing in eternity. But Pentecost wasn't about us going up. Pentecost was God building it from heaven to earth. And so when Pentecost came, the movement and the direction completely changed. It was birthed from the heart of God, and the Holy Spirit was poured out. And Scripture says they received their heavenly language. In other words, their tongue was redeemed and they were able to pray the mysteries of God, but they were also able to sing the heavenly praise of God. Jesus said, you will receive power. And so Pentecost is much more than just the demonstration of power. Although how many of you know that is needed? The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit should be experienced just like anybody else. But the Holy Spirit is much more than someone who just comes into the church service and makes the worship a little bit better. The Holy Spirit is much more than someone than just a feeling who occasionally will give you goosebumps. How many of you would say, I've been in church and now maybe you were worshiping, maybe it was through the message and you were like, man, I feel the Lord, right? We should feel the Lord, amen? We should sense His presence. But it's so much more than that. Pentecost is this. It is the end of man doing it on their own, in their own strength, to get eyes on them. Listen, it is a dangerous thing to have eyes on you. There are some old-time legends of the faith that literally when the Holy Spirit came and the preacher began to sense the Spirit moving in the room, he so didn't want any of the credit that he would literally take a box and put it on his head. Because he didn't want people looking at him. He wanted people to look to the one, to Jesus. It is a dangerous thing to get eyes on you, because when eyes are on you, the temptation comes to just put a little bit more of me into the mix. To raise the volume a little bit to make it seem a little bit more energized. There's a temptation to say an extra hallelujah, but you don't even really mean it. How many of you know we should never add Babel to Pentecost? Some of you got that. I had you turn to Genesis chapter 1. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1. We should start with the person of the Holy Spirit before we get into the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1, says, "In the beginning, God." Everybody say God. That word God is the Hebrew word Elohim, which refers to the plural nature of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. And so it says, in the beginning, this one triune God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void. How many of you know that is very much like our hearts, the condition of our hearts before we meet Jesus? Without form, void, purposeless, meaningless. Listen, before you know Jesus, that's what your heart is like. Lifeless, dead, nothing. The earth was without form and void, and listen, and darkness was on the face of the deep. How many of you know we were all children of darkness who came to him in the night? And the Spirit of God, that is the Elohim, the Spirit of the Trinity, listen to this, was hovering over the face of the waters. Are we talking about the Holy Spirit? The person of the Holy Spirit. It says here that in the beginning, God created the heavens of the earth, and the Spirit was hovering over the waters. Now, the word, that word Spirit is also the word breath. The Spirit is the very breath of the Godhead. And so the Holy Spirit is not just an influence meant to make our worship services a little better. The Holy Spirit doesn't just get in our lives, get involved into our lives after salvation. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is the reason you know Jesus in the first place? The Holy Spirit is the one who leads us to salvation. He's the one who fills us at salvation. He's the one who clothes us in righteousness after salvation. And then scripture says it's in him that we then live and move and have our being. The Holy Spirit isn't just an accessory to our faith. The Holy Spirit is absolutely 100% God. Somebody say amen. The Holy Spirit is more than goosebumps. He's more than a feeling. He is a person. And he is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And when we understand this truth, we recognize in those experience moments where it's like he's here. I'm experiencing him. I'm encountering. I know he's speaking to me. When we understand that he is God, we recognize I don't use him. He uses me. And it communicates the value of yielding to him when you realize he is God. How many of you know to say no to the Holy Spirit is to say no to God? That's why scripture says, now the Lord is the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God, and we see his nature here in Genesis chapter 1. And I want us to notice the order by which God takes that which is dark and void, and he makes it a perfect place, which is a type and a shadow of our own redemption. Okay? Verse 3 says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now look at verse 2. Can we pull verse 2 back up? Let's go back to verse 2. It says, the earth was without form and void, darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, what was the Spirit of God doing? Hovering. Let me ask you, what is the order of things? What is the heavenly order of a move of God? Did the Holy Spirit move first, or did God speak first? The Spirit moved first. The Spirit was hovering, moving over the waters. The spiritual order of the move of God, the Holy Spirit, is the breath of God, is God himself. And listen, until the Holy Spirit starts moving, God is not speaking. There is nothing that the Spirit does that they don't do as one. There is nothing that the Son does that they do not do as one. Somebody say amen. There is nothing that the Father does that they do not do as one. They are in perfect balance. They are perfect harmony. They are perfect unity at all times in all things. And so there must be a move of the Spirit before there is a speaking by God. It's the way God does things. Now, are your minds blown yet? Okay, here we go. The word hover in verse 2 is likened to and very similar to a mother eagle hovering and soaring over her nest. And it is that soaring, it is that watching, it is that eager anticipation of the mother that of these eggs coming to life. The Holy Spirit was hovering, and just as the mother eagle warms the eggs, provides for the eggs, protects the eggs, this is the posture of the Holy Spirit in verse 2. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. Yes, it was without form and void. It was worthless and meaningless. That is the same as the state of our lives before Jesus. But the Spirit comes first on the scene at creation. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Hovering over the waters with love, with care, in eager expectation of the life that was to come. And so the Spirit comes in our lives. Listen to this. Your heart was dark and void. If you don't know Jesus, you are in darkness. You need him to turn the light on. You need the Holy Spirit to breathe and to move and yield to that process. And when you yield to that process, listen, the Spirit comes on and is hovering over us. And the moment comes when you were exposed to the gospel, you heard the preaching of the gospel. And what did God say? As the Holy Spirit is hovering over you, protecting in anticipation of the life to come, the Holy Spirit hovers over you. You hear the gospel and God says what? Let there be light. And the light turns on the inside. Some of you remember that moment. Some of you had it recently. God said, let there be light. This is the way of the Spirit. This is how we are born again. There must be a move of the Spirit before there is the speaking of let there be light. Sometimes we think that our salvation was strictly limited to our yes, that we decided to accept God. But how many of you know he said yes to you far before you ever said yes to him? And so it's the Spirit that actually leads us to this moment, to the moment of salvation, by hovering over the waters of our heart and leading us to a moment where we can hear the speaking of the gospel, let there be light. That is why Scripture calls us children of the light. Scripture calls us children of the light. What did Jesus say to let shine? Your light. Let your light so shine among the men. Who is the light? It is the person of the Holy Spirit. It's what he does. He hovers and he prepares the ground. Listen, if you have someone that you know, friends, family, and there's people that do not know the Lord, begin to pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill this house. Begin to hover over them, watch over them, protect them, and allow that move to begin to happen so that they can hear the good news. Amen. And so if you come here and you ever wonder, why do they sing so much here? Why is worship so long sometimes? This is why. I don't want to get up here and start speaking until he's here. Because my words won't do anything to you. My words won't lead you anywhere. But what I've learned is that when we can sit at his feet We learn from him. I'll sometimes say, the Lord will whisper more than he screams. You want to hear God? You want to hear God speak to you? You must get close to him. Now listen, this is by design. You might think, well, if God loved me, he would just shout at me and he'll get my attention. No, he loves you and wants to be with you. And so he speaks quietly so that you will come to him. Because he wants nothing more than to be near to you. The Lord wants to be near to you. He wants to be found by you. But we must come to him. And so worship brings us to his feet. It prepares the atmosphere. It's promised in his word. Amen? We've talked about this. And so when you come here and you are sensing the Lord, maybe you are feeling the Lord. Maybe he's speaking to your heart. Maybe there's words that you're hearing on the inside and you're like, well, is that me or is that him? It's probably him. If it aligns with his word, it's him. And you begin to hear the Lord speak. The reason you are hearing him is because the atmosphere has been prepared and the Holy Spirit is moving. Amen? There is something reserved for times like this. I've heard believers say, I don't need to go to church to be saved. And I would say, you are playing with fire. Because there are things that God has reserved that you can only receive in atmospheres of being with other believers. That's why Jesus said, where two or more are gathered. In other words, you can't live your faith the way that it has been designed by yourself. You are too susceptible. You will be taken advantage of by the adversary. You are the weak link. What does a lion do when they're trying to attack their prey? Separate them from the herd. The enemy is the same way. If he can get you separate from the church, from the body, you are susceptible. Will you lose your salvation if you don't go to church? No, but you're playing with fire. And how many times do people stop going to church and after a couple years you catch up with them and all of a sudden they're like, hey, I don't know if I really believe everything in the Bible. How many of you know if you don't believe everything in the Bible, you can't believe any of it? It's either all true or just forget it. And so being separated, being out of the presence of the God is a dangerous thing. But listen, when we come into this space, we value his presence. We will worship until he is here. And then you will receive his word in his presence. Amen. So the Spirit is the literal breath of the Trinity. Everybody say breath. Okay. Listen to Genesis 41:38. This is speaking of Joseph after he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. You don't need to turn there, but you can write it down. Genesis 41:38 says, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find one such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Listen to Genesis 6:3. The Lord said, this is the Father speaking, my spirit, whose spirit? The Father. The Father is speaking. He says, my spirit shall not strive with this man forever. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is not separate from the Trinity? Yes, we call the Trinity the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is no less than the Son. The Son is no less than the Father. Just because Jesus yielded his life to the Father does not mean he was less than the Father. And just because the Spirit is in a different order does not mean the Spirit is less than the Son. How could the Holy Spirit be less than Jesus if Jesus waited for the Holy Spirit before he began his ministry? One is not greater than the other. Somebody say amen. If the Spirit was less than Jesus, why did Jesus have to be led by the Spirit into the wilderness? He could not be led if he was greater than the Spirit. Are you guys with me? The Trinity is one. None are less than the other. The Spirit of the Lord is the Lord. Yes, he came in the form of a dove, but he is not a dove. Yes, he came in the form of fire, but he is not limited to fire. Yes, he is a river inside of us, but he is not just a river.
Yes, he's new wine, but you cannot put him in a bottle. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. He is God. Somebody say amen. I'm going to close with this. Job 34, starting at verse 14. Zach, if you want to come out. Job 34, verse 14 says, if he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself, notice, his spirit and his breath. Job 33, verse 4 says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And so here we see the Spirit is God and the breath of God. Are you guys with me? Okay. Now, this is what I wanted to close with. How many of you remember God created Adam? And when God created Adam, it says that he formed him out of the dust of the earth. Now, can you imagine the beauty of that sculpture? Taking lifeless dust, dirt, mud, and forming Adam. It says that he formed him out of the dust of the earth. Now, at this point in creation, it had never rained. Right? Scripture talks about how the moisture would come up from the earth, and that was everything that he needed. Now, that moisture speaks to intimacy with God, right? It was the moisture. It was a part of that perfect atmosphere. It was Eden. And just like God breathes into our heart and restores the Eden of our heart, it was a perfect place. And so God formed him, and Adam was living in this atmosphere. And scripture says Adam was formed, and later in scripture it says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So God made us, he made you, he created you, he formed you, he shaped you. And scripture says you are fearfully, which means what? With care, with love. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. But how many of you know, no matter how beautiful something is, it is not until there is only one way for it to become alive. Adam was the perfect creation. He was made in the image of God, but there was no life there. Just because it's beautiful, just because it's wonderful, does not mean God has breathed on it. What did God do to make Adam come to life? He breathed on him. Who is that spirit? Who is that breath? It is the Holy Spirit. Listen, until the breath comes, you are just like Adam in the hand of God. You might be beautifully, wonderfully made. You might be going through life, but you are dead on the inside. There is this lifelessness, this hopelessness, until God breathes on you with his spirit. And all of a sudden, that heart is restored. And that Eden, that perfect place, comes back to life. And so God breathes into Adam's nostrils. Think about this. God breathes into his nostrils, which means God was face to face with Adam, eye to eye, face to face. He breathes into Adam's nostrils, and he breathes the Hebrew word is the ruah. In other words, the very spirit of his person, and into Adam he breathes, and the Bible says he becomes a living person. How many of you know we have to yield ourselves? We may be dead on the inside. We might be empty. We might be low. But if we can yield to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, would you breathe on me again? Would you fill me with that breath that breathes new life into me? How many of you remember in the Gospel of John when Jesus institutes the church, he restores Peter, and what does he do? He says, Jesus breathes on Peter and says what? Receive the Holy Spirit. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, I'm the one who formed Adam. And when I breathed on him, he came to life. And I'm gonna do the same thing for you. Amen. It's your turn. Now it's your turn to come alive. Now it's your turn to stop running, to stop hiding, to stop resisting. Listen, it's your turn to stop going through the motions. God's not looking for motions. Scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. How many of you know we must submit to the move of the Spirit and allow him to breathe on us afresh? Whatever is withholding you, whatever is holding you back from fully stepping in, from fully engaging, from fully surrendering. How many of you know without him, you're already dead? We must allow him to breathe on us. And so the Holy Spirit is not a side topic. The Holy Spirit is God. Amen. Let's stand together. My prayer is that when we come together, that we would start here, recognizing that the Holy Spirit is not just a feeling. The Holy Spirit is God, and he wants to speak to you. He wants to fill you. He wants to breathe on you so that every time you come into his presence, you don't leave the same. Amen. You cannot come into the presence of God and leave the same. If you leave the same, you didn't encounter the Lord. Maybe you heard some good words. Maybe you heard some good music. There's more to it. The Lord says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Are you hungry? Come to the Lord and be satisfied. Come to the table and be filled. Allow him to pour himself out and into your life. I believe we have to start here recognizing he is God. And I believe that his divinity must be established in our hearts in order for us to fellowship with him properly. I don't know about you, but I don't want to worship in vain. I want to worship the Lord rightly, with the right spirit. Are you trying to get people to look at you? I tell the worship team, I'm like, if you're drawing attention to yourself, you're not on this stage. It's not about you. Whoever's up here speaking, if you're just trying to make a show, you're out of here. Like, no. My hope is that there will be a day where we are leading a time and whoever is speaking can walk off this stage and nobody notices because everyone's eyes are so fixed on the Lord. My hope is that if I retire or when the Lord moves me on or whatever, I don't know. Nothing misses a beat because it was never about me. Are you trying to make a name for yourself? Because the Bible says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. To receive from the Lord, you must be what scripture says is poor in spirit. You want to be like him. When he came to this earth, he came lowly. He came humbly. He didn't come as a king with a crown on his head. He was born in a manger among animals, wrapped in swaddling cloths that was used to clean those animals. This is the creator of the universe. He deserved more than that. He was crucified on the cross after living a perfect life, to pay for your sin, to pay for everything that you've done, so that you could have this. Why? Because all he wants is to be with you. You are his delight. And you might be here and you might be thinking, you don't know how many times I've messed up. You don't know what I've even said to God. He said yes to you far before you even said any of those things. And so the Lord is looking for your yes. I sense the Holy Spirit. He is hovering over the waters of hearts right now. He's prepared the ground of the waters of our hearts. Will you yield to him and say, Lord, breathe that into me. Let there be light. I'm going to ask that we close our eyes. Bow our heads, every eye closed, every head bowed. And if you are here and you've received your spiritual language, I'm going to ask that you just begin to gently pray in the Spirit. Begin to fill this atmosphere. You can go a little louder than that. It's okay. We're not giving words right now. This isn't that. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit, the wind of heaven, the breath of God. Come on, let's keep praying in the Spirit. We're just going to take the next 30 seconds. Just begin to pray. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to start praying here in a moment. And I'm going to ask that you would open your heart simply to receive the breath of the Holy Spirit. It would be wrong for us to leave here without opening our heart to him. So let's open our hearts. And you can just do that. Jesus, I open my heart. I open my heart to you. I put away the stigmas, the preconceptions, the judgment. And with our hearts open, Father, in Jesus' name, fill your people again. Your word says, be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And wonderful Jesus, I ask that you would fill your people again, fill every hungry soul that is seeking you today. Don't let them leave the same. Take us up and into the wonder of who you are, into the current of your Spirit. Fill everything. Fill everyone that is watching online, everyone who is in this place, everyone who is under the sound of my voice. Fill them with your Spirit right now in Jesus' name to overflowing. Fill them all. Be filled with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, fill us. And just right now, say, thank you, Lord. Come on, just everybody say, thank you, Lord. I receive in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask right now if we could have the pastors and people that are available to pray, if we can have them just come up right up here. Go ahead, move your way down now. Yeah, thank you, Andrea. Yeah, go ahead, Micah. Thanks, David. If you are here today and you need prayer for anything, I'm going to encourage you. I want you to come down here after we close this time. I'm going to encourage you to come down and just allow someone to pray with you. If you need healing, if you have questions, if there is hurt in your heart, whatever it is, I'm going to ask that you come down. Just get prayed for. How many of you know God hears our prayers and he answers prayer? Okay. So if you need prayer, come and get prayed for. If you are here and you do not know the Lord, I'm gonna ask that you also come down and get prayed for by someone after service, and we're gonna walk you into that. Does that sound good? We're gonna lead you into that salvation prayer so that you can give your life to the Lord. But how many of you are thankful for what the Lord's speaking to us today? Amen. Amen. Can we just praise the Lord for what he spoke? Thank you, Lord. Okay, so here's the deal. You're welcome to fellowship in here, but I would ask if you want to fellowship a little loudly, go out there, because we're going to have some time of prayer and Zach's going to continue to play. But if you need prayer or you would like to give your life to the Lord, any of the above, come on up. Otherwise, you guys are dismissed. We love you, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless.